Hey, Reitzel. What's up, Wagner? What did I tell you about wearing that chain around here?
Yeah, you ain't getting this chain, man. I got it taped. Got it tied down.
And that's okay. I got me a ringer. His name's Tlaib. He got nothing better to do this week, so.
Apparently.
And that, my friends, is how we kick off week 13 of The End Zone here on the Fandom Podcast Network. Kevin, I'm kind of losing interest in the NFL season rapidly if this trend keeps up.
Does anyone want to take the AFC West? Please stand up.
Unfortunately, I do think the Los Angeles Chargers are kind of standing up at the moment.
Yeah, they seem to be the only serious team right now that's trying to make a shot. And I've counted them out recently, haven't I? I counted them out, didn't I?
Yeah, I think we all did. Okay. I know you got plenty of questions for me, but you guys actually did win that game, even though WWE event broke out.
Yes, we did. Well, hey, before we get into that, why don't we get in the contact information for End Zone here, the Fandom Podcast Network.
Absolutely. Of course, this is the End Zone. And of course, you can find the End Zone and all the great shows of the Fandom Podcast Network on fpnet.podbean.com. You can also use the Podbean app on your mobile devices. Just look up Fandom Podcast Network. And of course, the Fandom Podcast Network can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, and if you have an Android device, the Google Play app. That's where you can find our main feed and where all of our great shows are. You can visit our Facebook page, Fandom Podcast Network. Give us a like. Give us some input. You can email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. You can find us on Instagram at Fandom Podcast Network and on Twitter at FanPod Network. And of course, I'm Kyle. You can find me on Twitter at AKyleW and on Instagram at AKyleFandom. Kevin, where can they find you and all your raidery goodness?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Spartan_Phoenix.
So we'll start with our week 12 wrap up here. And what is wrong with both of our teams, Kevin? Because it started so well.
Yeah, you know, but what's interesting, though, I mean, our downfall kind of started right away. And then shortly after we beat you guys lose, what, 4 out of 5?
Five out of the last 6.
Jeez. Oh, man. Let's start with you guys. What's going on?
It's a combination of... You know, everybody's screaming, replace Alex Smith for Mahomes. Andy Reid has already said he's not going to do that. We'll see what happens after this week with the Jets. It's such a combination of things. It's just insane. One, injuries have killed our defense. We lost Eric Berry for the season in the first game. He is the leader of that defense and the heart and soul of it, and it's just not the same without him.
Yeah, but you guys are doing great, though, without him.
It's questionable. Kansas City's defense over the last few years has been successful because it draws a lot of turnovers, but they've always given up a ton of yards. Well, they haven't gotten the turnovers this year, and it's made a difference. And there's been a couple other issues. Tom Bahali has missed a good chunk of the time. D Ford has been out quite a bit. Justin Houston's he's not fully healthy and hasn't been since he had those knee issues. So there's that on defense. Plus, Marcus Peters has not had a really good year at cornerback. But the problem is our offense has just gone south. We only had 9 yards of total offense at the end of the first quarter against Buffalo this week.
Jeez.
And our offensive line play is terrible. They're not making any holes for Kareem Hunt. And this started with the Pittsburgh Steelers game. The Pittsburgh Steelers went to a zone-type defense against all these Andy Reid crazy trick plays that were working so well, and Kansas City has not been able to solve the zone defense, and it's just eating them alive. Their offense has just gone completely stagnant. They've had one touchdown in the last like 29 quarters. It's bad right now. They have time to turn it around, but right now they're a sinking ship. And
Kareem Hunt, I mean, man, what is it? offensive line play? What's going on there?
I think it is offensive line play because he's still breaking tackles, but he's taking a pounding. He can't even get out of the backfield before there's somebody there. Our line has really fallen off. Reed said he knows that the problem is more than just the quarterback, but I'm going to tell you right now, if they lose another game or two, Patrick Mahomes might be put in there because they just need something to wake him up and give him a spark.
All right, is that a smart thing to do with you guys still trying to maintain that slim lead in the West and to get a playoff berth?
If they lose a couple more games, it might not matter. I mean, what's sad is that the AFC West, which we were talking about at the beginning of the season, was looking like the best division in football, has just been a complete false division this year. Only one team from that division is going to make the playoffs, and that's whoever wins the division.
Yeah. Jeez. Well,
what's going on with your Raiders?
Well, it's sad when you have to say every game is, you know, make or break your season, and recently that's the way that it's been. You know, that loss against in Mexico City against the Patriots was demoralizing, and then of course the Raiders fired their defensive coordinator, and so there's questions in that, and people are also calling for, you know, Jack Del Rio as well as their offensive coordinator. So, you know, going into this division rivalry with the Broncos, it was a huge game. You know, even though the Broncos aren't doing well, it's, you know, it's one of those things where the divisional games, it doesn't matter what your records are. It's still, you want to win the game, but there is a divisional thing going here because everyone is looking at the slide of the Chiefs right now and going, well, you know, there's a chance here, you know, and, you know, Denver is more on the downslide right now than the Raiders were before game time. And then game time comes around and the defense was playing pretty well, actually. They seemed fired up. And Marshawn Lynch.
Didn't you get your first interception of the season finally in that game?
Yeah, from a lineman, I think, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, not from, you know, your normal corner or anything like that. But yeah, a weird interception there that kind of bounced around in the end zone and he happened to be on his back and he caught it. So we finally got our first, got a big monkey off our back. We finally got our first interception, although it wasn't your traditional one. But Marshawn Lynch was running the ball well, got a touchdown as well. Then stuff started to happen with our receivers very early on, by the way, which really affected my fantasy league. And the reason why I definitely lost a close one, the ESPN one, the other one, is I didn't get any points from Michael Crabtree. He and his good pal, Tlaib, got into a good how are you doing conversation and got in a little tussle and... And
well, are you saying they did not have Thanksgiving dinner together, Kevin?
I'm going to guess no. So, you know, there's a little history between these guys. Aqib Tlaib had ripped off Crabtree's chain previously. And going into the game, we heard afterwards that Crabtree had taped his chain to his body.
But helped that, any.
That didn't help. Aqib went straight for it. And then Crabtree went off and pushed him down to the ground, out of bounds, and fights started breaking out, and punches were thrown, some were missed. So Aqib Tlaib and of course, Crabtree were ejected, and poor Cooper. Got hurt, got a concussion. It looked really bad at first. Like I thought there was something more that happened there, but he got his lights rung there and, he had to leave the game. So we were down to our other receivers and, of course, Jared Cook, our tight end, who they should be throwing to all the time. They should be, Gronkowski-ing him to use that name differently. But yeah, so and they were ahead, I think, 21-0 at one point, and then they Paxton Lynch got hurt, decided to go
cried.
Decided to go. You know what that reminded me of? Do you remember when Tim Tebow was losing that championship game to Alabama and he started crying on the side? Remember that?
Yeah, it's either that or don't talk to me, all right? Knock it off!
Wait, who was that?
That was Ryan Leaf.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Oh, my God, yes. Oh, man, I got to look that up on YouTube. God, that's so funny. But yeah, Paxton Lynch went out and they brought in Trevor Siemian. And I tell you, man, he started getting them back in the game. And I think if they would have started Trevor, it might have been a completely different game.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, though, the Broncos are a mess.
Oh, yes, yes. And, you know, the Raiders took advantage of that. But, you know, I saw their defense kind of play with a little bit of spark, and their offense was there. Not great, but able enough to win the game. And with you guys losing, what are we, one game behind now?
You're two games behind. You're two games behind Kansas City. You're, San Diego is a game behind Kansas. San Diego's in second, a game behind.
That's right. Byron's. Okay. And they have the tiebreaker right now with the Raiders. So, yeah, things are interesting in the AFC West. Who are you guys playing next week?
We have the New York Jets.
Well, we play the other New York team. We got the Giants at home, who are a mess as well.
Oh, we're going to get to the
Giants. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we'll definitely get to
I have a rant for the New York Giants.
So, yeah, that's where we are with our teams right now. It's This is a crazy season, especially with all of the injuries. But an update. Both Aqib Talib and Crabtree were suspended for two games each, but it looks like they appealed and it's been reduced to one right now.
Yeah, I saw that. So,
but that doesn't help the Raiders receiving thing, because they're going to be without Cooper probably with a concussion protocol, and depending what else he's got hurt. So they got to go to Seth Roberts and a few others here that are going to have to come up, and Cordell Patterson. But I'm a big fan with the tight end play, and I'm hoping that they keep throwing their tight end. So before we move on, what does your team need to do, man?
They've got to figure it out. I mean, there's nothing.
What do you want to change at quarterback? What do you want? If you're the coach right now, what would you do? What would Coach Kyle do for his Chiefs?
I wouldn't change quarterbacks yet. I would give Alex Smith one more game, but I would be making some changes in the offensive line because they're not playing well at all. I would be getting Kareem Hunt more involved in the passing game. They really haven't been doing that. And I would be on Alex Smith a little bit. Quit throwing 3-yard passes, because that's one of the big problems. Is Alex Smith has gone back to being Alex Smith of old, where he can't seem to throw it more than 5 yards per play. So, I mean, but it's just, I think they've lost confidence. They need to get a win. I mean, that's the bottom line. I think a win cures a lot of things, but right now it's, I mean, the Jets have been competitive in most of their games this season. I think there could be a tough struggle for the Chiefs. So okay. We'll see what happens. But there were some interesting games in Week 12, Kevin.
Yeah, let's do a little wrap-up here. Well, we had the Thanksgiving games, obviously. Minnesota, Detroit, Chargers, Dallas, Washington, Giants. Chargers manhandling Dallas was definitely a statement game.
Dallas is done. I'm putting the fork in Dallas, because I think by the time Elliott comes back, unless they can get their offensive lineman back and healthy, but their defense is a mess. Dak looks lost without the offensive line and Zeke Elliott. There's too many teams in the NFC ahead of them at this point. Yeah. I think Dallas is done. The Vikings, they just keep rolling.
Yeah, they're definitely the champs right now in that division. I think they're the team to beat there. The other game that was the big one was Rams hosting New Orleans, and Rams coming out with that win, right?
Yeah, that's a big statement game for the Rams. A lot of people thought maybe the Rams would kind of collapse a little bit after falling like they did to the Vikings, but they came out and they beat the hottest team in the NFL in the New Orleans Saints in a very good game, and I think the Rams are legit now. I think you have to take the Rams seriously when it comes playoff time.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of these other games ended as expected. There was a lot of points, high point spread in a lot of these. Philadelphia was favored by like 14. New England was favored by like 16 or 17. I would say probably the biggest upset would probably been your Chiefs and the Buffalo, maybe.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, one of the best games was the Sunday night game between Pittsburgh and Green Bay.
I didn't see that. How was it?
That was a great game that actually came down to a field goal at the end of the game by the Steelers to win it. Brett Hundley showed up. Looks like maybe he's kind of figuring out the NFL a little bit now.
And they got a running back, too. So,
yet again, yeah, they keep finding running backs. Go figure. But well, it was a good game. But it's getting to the point where, you know, Kevin, there's a lot of bad football with this teams out there.
Well,
and I saw with...
Well, go ahead.
List of the starting quarterbacks this past week. I think there might be better starting quarterbacks in the CFL right now.
God, yeah, a lot of parity here. Before we go in the power rankings, let's go ahead and look at the standings here in the AFC East. Of course, you got the Patriots at 9-2, followed by Buffalo at 6-5. Jets and Dolphins are tied at 4-7. AFC North, you got Pittsburgh. They're in the driver's seat at 9-2, followed by Baltimore at 6-5. They're in the hunt here. Cincinnati is at 5-6, and of course the lowly winless Cleveland Browns at 0-11.
Hey, Kevin, real quick.
Hold on. Let me ask you something real quick before I forget. It's hard to go 0-16. Do you think it's going to happen with the Browns?
No, because they'll catch somebody at the end of the season who's not playing for anything and will disinterest. And this is what I was going to say. The one thing about the Cleveland Browns, because you see them on Red Zone and you think, that team hasn't quit. That team is going out there and they are playing hard every week. And that's a tribute to those players on that team that they haven't quit on this season.
Like some teams have, Giants.
Yeah.
AFC South, we've got Tennessee and Jacksonville tied at 7-4. Followed by Houston at 4-7 and the Colts at 3-8. And as we talked about, our AFC West, Kansas City is at 6-5 with the Chargers and Oakland at 5-6. The Chargers have the current tiebreaker there, of course, and then Denver at 3-8. NFC, of course, those Eagles flying high, 10-1 NFC East there, followed by Cowboys and Redskins, both at 5-6. And the Giants at 2-9. Let me ask you this. You put the fork in Dallas Cowboys at 5-6 record. Do you see an NFC East team other than Philadelphia running away with the division here, apparently? Do you see like the Redskins making a run for at least a wild card?
They're going to be in the mix, but I got to tell you, I think both of our wild cards are going to come from the NFC South.
That's a good point. Yep. NFC North, of course, Vikings at 9-2. Detroit at 6-5, looking for a wild card there. Green Bay at 5-6, and the Bears at 3-8. That NFC South that you spoke of, New Orleans and Carolina now tied at 8-3, and they have a very important game coming up this week.
Oh, yes.
Atlanta Falcons still fighting for a spot there at 7-4. Tampa Bay at 4-7. We put in the fork in Tampa Bay. I think we did already.
Yeah, we have. Tampa Bay is out of it. Jameis Winston's coming back this week, only to find that two of his offensive linemen have been put on IR for the season. So.
Yeah, okay. And last but not least, the NFC West with the Los Angeles Rams at 8-3, followed by Seattle at 7-4, still in the playoff hunt. Arizona 5-6, and of course San Francisco at 1-10. Okay, let's get into some rankings here, and I want to ask you about these here. Hold on, where's my rankings? Where's my rankings? Here we go. Okay, so at number one, Eagles, 10-1. It's expected.
Yeah.
Patriots, 9-2, followed by the Steelers at number three at 9-2. Seems right. Now let me ask you about this. Vikings at 9-2 at four, and at five, the Rams at 8-3. Panthers at 8-3 at number six, Saints at 7 at 8-3. So you got a bunch of 8-3 teams here. Vikings, because they do have the better record, do they deserve to be at number four?
Oh yeah, without a doubt. One, they've got one of the best defenses in football, and Case Keenum has been amazing this year.
Yeah,
four is a perfect. I don't think they're better than those three teams ahead of them, but I don't see any of those teams behind them being better.
Yep. Okay. What about the 5, 6, and 7 spots, all 8-3 records of the Rams leading the Panthers and the Saints? Do you think
I would flip flop the Saints and Panthers? I think the Rams are better than both of those teams right now. Plus the Rams just beat.
Would
the
you
Saints.
Say the Saints should be above the Panthers or below the Panthers?
Yeah. The Saints should be above the Panthers. They have beaten the Panthers this season already once, so.
Okay, then at 8, we've got the Falcons at 7-4, Seahawks at number 9 at 7-4. Chargers break the top 10 here at 5-6. What do you think? Is that fair enough? They're above the Ravens at 6-5, the Jaguars at 7-4, better record. They're at number 10 with a below 500 record here.
Yeah, but they put a waxing on the Dallas Cowboys, and they have something that the teams that have better records but are behind them in the power rankings don't have. They have a legitimate NFL quarterback.
Good point there. I was about to argue that. Yeah, I don't know. The Jaguars, yeah. I see why that's up there. Okay. And then your Chiefs have dropped down to number 17. They used to be at number 1.
Yep, they deserve to be there right now the way they're playing. It's ugly.
Yep. And the Raiders are now at 20. So I think they actually went up a game or two after winning that game. So there is your rankings. All right. We got some news, man. Hit us up. What do we got?
Well, let's start with, I think, is the top story of the week right now, and that is the New York Giants have benched Eli Manning. Now, do I think this was something that probably needed to be done? Yes, the Giants season is lost. They have a kid, Davis Webb, who they spent a third-round draft pick on. They need to find out what they have with him. Here is my problem. This was handled in the worst way possible. Here is what
coaching?
The New York Giants... Not only coaching, but just how this was handled with the benching of Eli Manning. Because let's all remember, Eli Manning has a consecutive start streak that's the second longest in NFL history. You know what the New York Giants did to Eli Manning and what they offered him? Well, you can go in and play the first series so you keep your starting streak intact. Then we're going to bench you for Geno Smith. That is an insult to Eli Manning, because Eli Manning is a competitor. He is not going to want to go in there just to keep a streak alive. That is not who Eli Manning is.
Can we really blame the failure of the Giants on Eli Manning too, with all of the injuries that they've had?
It's horrible injuries, horrible coaching. This isn't all on Eli Manning, but here's the sad part of this for New York Giants fans. You can kiss Eli Manning goodbye. They are going to cut or trade Eli Manning in the offseason because he is due to be a cap hit of $22 million on their cap next year. And I can think of two teams Eli Manning will be on next year. One of these two teams. He will either be the starting quarterback.
Don't say it.
Tom Coughlin and the Jacksonville Jaguars because of his relationship with Tom Coughlin from his years with the Giants. And come on, he is an upgrade over Blake Bortles. Or he's going to follow Big Brother's footsteps and be the quarterback of the Denver Broncos.
Oh, don't say it. Oh, man, you said it.
And
Denver Broncos.
Here's the crazy thing. And somebody actually brought this up to me and I'll give him a point. I can understand if Geno Smith is the starter this week because Davis Webb has not been practicing with the team. He's been their scout quarterback. Fine. Give him a bunch of reps this week. Let him sit as the backup for a week. But if he is not starting within the next 2 weeks, whoever's running the Giants needs to be fired right there on the spot by the Mara family. Because what their season has been a total joke. They have completely disrespected a 2-time Super Bowl winning quarterback who owns Tom Brady. And it's a shame because I don't know if Eli Manning's going to be a Hall of Famer. Probably. The Manning name helps. 2 Super Bowls over Tom Brady helps. But this is just very disrespectful how they're treating him. And you can see in interviews, Eli is very emotionally hurt by what's going on. And he's not whining and pouting, but you can just tell. He's not happy, and I don't blame him, Kevin.
Yeah. Wow. Oof. Feel bad for the Giants. But, you know, not this week.
Yeah, no, you're loving this week. So yeah. I have a feeling you're going to see, the Raiders should win this week and they should run it up because I think a lot of the players, the veterans on the Giants are going to start tanking games to get this coach fired.
You think so?
Yeah, I think this was the final straw. So, and of course, you know, we talked a little bit earlier. We have the Broncos-Raiders fight fallout. It was originally 2-game suspensions. Everything's reduced down to 1 game. That seems fair. I thought 2 games was a bit excessive.
Aqib Talib is a punk. I think he's a bully. You know, I think he's a jerk. He's the one that's instigated this whole thing. He even took off Crabtree's helmet. And he specifically wanted to try and take that chain off again. You know?
Well, you don't have to tell me about Aqib Talib. We have experience with Aqib Talib down here in Tampa. The guy is a knucklehead.
Yeah, he's just one, you know, like that Pac-Man Jones guy. You know, that guy's a jerk.
Oh, no, no,
too.
No. But he makes Pac-Man look like a saint comparatively.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Michael Crabtree was interviewed. He's like, look, I don't have a beef with him. It's all on his side, you know, I got to be honest with you. I'm glad that Crabtree responded the way that he did. Unfortunately, it, you know, almost hurt his team because, you know, he got kicked out of the game. But, you know, if a guy's going to try and bully you and be a punk like that, you got to stand up and do something about it. And yeah. I'm glad that he did. And, you know, hopefully he sent a message to him. But you know what? In a perfect world, I would love for Crabtree to be the better man and just say, you know, put an olive branch out there saying, look, man, let's bury this. You know, let's just be competitors and play. You know,
Talib will never accept that.
What's that?
Talib will never be like that.
I know Talib won't, but I would love for Crabtree to do that. Because, you know, ever since Crabtree's come to the Raiders, he hasn't been that kind of jerk that he was when he first started with. Remember when he was, like, trying to get more money out of San Francisco, you know? You know, and being talking big, all that kind of stuff. He's really found a home here in Oakland. People love him, and he loves being a Raider. And he's, you know, he said in the past, you know, when he got, you know, brought onto the Raider, he feels at home here. And he's been the number one receiver too. So, but I'm glad
Kevin, all this Crabtree love couldn't be involved something winning something over the weekend.
I did happen to win a Crabtree jersey with our Atlanta Raider Boost Club raffle. It's so funny, too, because I've won a couple recently, and that was the one I was trying to get, and I finally got it. So, unfortunately, it did not come with the chain, although I swear if next time I wear that jersey to the club, I'm going to get, like, this big fake gold chain and just put it on.
Well, another interesting thing, and we've kind of talked about this for the last couple of weeks, Kevin, but Josh Gordon officially returns this week. He will be on the field for the Cleveland Browns. There's been some interesting articles come up about his life and everything he's been through in the last few years. This guy should not be in the league, Kevin, but I mean, I'm all for getting another chance, and this guy's got supreme talent if his head's on right. So I'm kind of curious to see what's going to happen.
Well, let me add, I know he's busted doing the drugs and that kind of stuff. Has there been any evidence that he is actually trying to make an effort this time?
Yeah, there has been evidence. He's not talking about it too much for reasons, personal reasons, and he wants to wait till the timing's right. His focus is just trying to get back on the field right now. I don't trust him. I mean, the sad part is he has got supreme talent. When he was on the field, even when Cleveland had some horrible, and I mean horrible, quarterbacks on their roster, he was putting up 200-yard receiving games, crazy touchdown numbers.
Yeah, he made whatever crappy quarterback they had at the time look good. So, apparently, you know, the coach Hugh was saying that they're going to try and play him as much as they can.
Yeah, well, because he's more talented than anything else they have on the field offensively.
Yeah, that's true.
But here's what's going to happen. If the way the NFL gods work, Kevin, and we both know this, Josh Gordon is going to end up somehow on the New England Patriots and have a record-breaking season with Tom Brady as his quarterback. We know that's
that
how
that would
the
football not
gods
surprise
work.
Me, man. That would not surprise you.
And finally, Kevin, I know you've been waiting for this one, but it is finally Jimmy Garoppolo time in San Francisco.
Is that official? You're not messing with me, right?
No, that is official. He is been named the starter. He came in with about a minute 19 left and led San Francisco to their only touchdown last week.
About time. Jeez. A little late if you ask me.
Yeah, we have been waiting for this and waiting for this and waiting for this. I think this kid is a good quarterback. I think there's some talent there, and I think hopefully he'll show something in these last few games for San Francisco. Either way, he's going to get paid for having a couple nice-looking games as Tom Brady's backup. So
it's true.
Plus, he's really handsome, according to the ladies. So,
well, yeah, I guess you have to be if you're going to be Tom Brady's backup.
Yeah, you're going to be Brady's wingman. You have to meet a certain criteria.
All right, so we look at week 13 matchups here.
Yeah, let's do this thing.
All right, so the Thursday night game, we've got Washington at Dallas.
Then actually, a good game for Thursday night, finally.
Yeah, you know, obviously those games are always competitive. Washington seems to be the better team right now, but we'll see. The 1 o'clock early games on Sunday, we got Baltimore at Detroit, Chicago hosting San Francisco, Atlanta hosting Minnesota, New England at Buffalo, Denver at Miami, Tennessee at Houston, Jacksonville hosting Indianapolis, Tampa Bay at Green Bay, and Kansas City at the Jets. For these 1 o'clock games, one that jumps out at me, Atlanta, Minnesota.
Absolutely. That's a big game for Atlanta's playoff position. That's almost a must win for Atlanta. And Minnesota, let's see if the Case Keenum train keeps on rolling.
And you're Kansas City at the Jets. I'm worried about that for you, man. Now, I'm not worried as in, like, you know, worried, but Jets at home against Kansas City. Kansas City on a slide. How you feeling about that?
I think the Jets have been game all season. This is the Darrelle Revis Bowl, because it should be Revis's first game for Kansas City, so that'll be interesting.
Yeah, that's right. This will be interesting. All right.
So, but
and then for know, what?
There was one other 1 o'clock game I kind of found a little bit interesting. It's actually the New England at Buffalo game, because the Bills have been so up and down this season, but they really wanted to prove a point to New England. I'm not saying Buffalo's going to win, but do you think Buffalo can at least, you know, maybe put a little bit of defensive hurt on New England and at least put New England through a rough game?
Yeah, they should. I mean, this is a big game for Buffalo and those Buffalo fans. They hate New England. And my good friend Bob, who I want to have on the show sometime soon, the End Zone here, big football fan, and of course, you know, in one of our fantasy leagues here. Huge Buffalo fan, can't stand New England, and it would be nice if they were at least competitive and maybe even lucky enough to pull off an upset, but I don't see it happening. Okay, so the late games, the 4 o'clock games Eastern time, we have New Orleans and Carolina.
Huge.
Huge game. New Orleans is favored by 4 currently. We've got Chargers hosting Cleveland. That should be an easy win for them. Rams at Arizona. Oakland, of course, at home against the lowly Giants, starting with Geno Smith. And, of course, the Sunday night game, Philadelphia at Seattle. This is going to be a good game. I'm actually looking forward to that.
That is an intriguing football game, my friend.
Yes, it is. And then the Monday night game, Pittsburgh at Cincinnati. Cincinnati's going to try to play spoiler here.
Yeah. Now, I want to go back to the Sunday night game, though. Philadelphia at Seattle. This is interesting because we have Carson Wentz, probably the hottest quarterback in the league, going up against a very banged-up Seattle secondary. No Cam Chancellor, no Richard Sherman. They're playing guys who weren't even with their team at the start of the season this year. This is a tough game for Seattle, who's trying to be in the playoff race still. And I heard a crazy stat today, Kevin. Russell Wilson accounts for 80% of Seattle's offense.
Does not surprise me one bit. And that dude's a warrior, man. He's been getting hit hard too.
Seattle, get this guy an offensive line and find him a running back.
Oh, jeez, yeah. God. Well, we got some interesting games there. I'm excited. It's going to be an interesting weekend. So, well, you know, I'm ready to talk some fantasy here. I guess I am.
It was not a fun week in the leagues I'm in of yours, Kevin.
Yeah. Okay. So let's look at the NFL league here. I lost. I'm at 5-7 right now. not in a good space right now. But let's look at the where we're at here. So the league, where are we at with the league here? Okay, so the Real McCoy is at 9-3. You're tied, same record at 9-3, but I guess there's a tiebreaker there.
Yeah, I think it's you're good, scored.
You're in a good, comfortable spot though for playoffs.
Yeah, me, but I'm not liking my quarterback situation right now either.
What's your quarterback situation?
I'm looking at Matthew Stafford as my starter. My backup's kind of shaky at the moment with Jameis Winston, but Stafford's coming off that ankle, and Winston's just a mess right now. So
you got to be able to pick someone off the waiver wire that's better than Jameis Winston right now.
Right now, it's getting to be slim pickings because everybody's picking up just to prevent things. So, but I mean, I feel okay with Stafford going the rest of the way unless this ankle really flares up and he's done.
Hold on. You get Josh McCown is available in that league. Go pick him up and drop Jameis Winston. I order you to do that right now. Josh McCown. Okay. Come on, man. Are you don't want to do it because you don't want to play against your Chiefs? Is that it?
Yeah. No, it's him. It's a McCown brother. That's all I know.
Josh McCown's been pretty solid lately.
Yeah, no.
I don't know if you've been looking at his numbers, but come on, man. Tyrod Taylor, you know, maybe.
He might get benched again. We don't know.
Jeez. Man, if I was in your situation, I would get Josh in a heartbeat. But who am I to talk? My players are just underperforming right now. I just don't get it. I'll get into some waiver wire pickups because I picked up someone up that I want to mention that's not on the main list. Let's look at the ESPN standings here. Of course, we're in the East together. You're in second place at 7-5 behind the first place person at 9-3. The first down order is at 9-3. Your Rogue Squadron's at 7-5. I'm in third at 5-7. That was frustrating. Crabtree not producing. I lost by 4 points to the first down order.
Do you not have Alvin Kamara in that league?
I lost. I was ahead by like almost 30 points or something like that. And the Monday night game just killed me. And not having a zero next to Crabtree just killed me. Yeah. And then the West, we've got Team Preyless and Charlie's Nuts tied at 7-5. And then Bootleg Rio and Space Unicorns are in second at 6-6. So that's a tight league right there. This is interesting. So,
you know, Kevin, I have to say I've never had a fantasy football season that has been more destroyed by injuries and suspensions than this.
Oh, God, tell me about it, man. Jeez.
On one of my teams, my top two picks went down for the season. One was David Johnson with his wrist, and the other was Odell Beckham with his
leg. Oh, God. My Yahoo League, I'm doing the best there. I'm at 6-6, and I'm in fifth place. So I'm trying to fight for a playoff spot there. But Abe Froman's team, who was undefeated for a while, finally lost. He's now 11-1. So, but what about your other teams? How are you doing in your other leagues?
In my Yahoo League, I'm 5-7, but still very much in the mix because after the top two teams, it's everybody's within a game of each other. And we got 2 weeks left in that season. In my CBS Sports League, I've been eliminated, but I still have a chance at 500, and I take pride in that because those are some serious guys who I'm playing with in that CBS Sports League. They just basically live fantasy football all the
time. Let me ask you a question about that because I want to propose something to you for next year. Is that league that you play in the same every year, or do you just join a random CBS league?
No, I've been playing in this league for almost 15 years now.
Really? Because I'd like to play in a CBS league next year. I've never tried it, and if they have an opening spot, let me know. How many teams are in that league?
This year it's a 10-team league. We've had it at 12 before, but they seem to like to keep it at 10.
Yeah, 10's about right.
12 thins out the players a little bit too much.
If anyone drops out, let me know. I'd be happy to fill that spot.
We'll let you know on that.
All right, cool.
Do you have any waiver wire ads for us this week, Kevin?
Yes. Okay, first of all, let me pull up the article here real quick. Okay, so as you know, the Raiders are hurting at wide receiver right now. Cordell Patterson could be a nice streaming pick for 1 week right now. He's been the most promising. He also does return stuff as well. Jared Cook If you need a right receiver, I think they're going to turn to him in this game. This guy's always on the list, but he's just not wowing me. Am I missing something, Cooper Kupp?
You're just missing something because he is the leading receiver on the Rams at this point. Had his first 100-yard game of his career against the
Saints. Okay, so it must have happened because of the other guy that got hurt, right?
Yeah, Robert Woods. But, yes. I mean, Kupp is the leading receiver on the Rams, and they play Cleveland this week.
Ah, I see. Okay, that's why he's not here. Tyrod Taylor, of course, if you need a QB. Jamal Williams, the running back, obviously, for Green Bay. This guy is becoming the go-to guy. He's getting the touches.
Okay, wait. I'll stop you for a second on Jamal Williams.
Yes.
Jamal Williams is the guy because there's nobody else on the roster who's healthy right now either.
Well, yeah. I'm.
But here's...
There's no competition.
Next year, do you even touch a Green Bay running back? Because who knows who's going to get the football next year? Is it going to be Williams? Is it going to be Aaron Jones? Is it going to be Ty Montgomery? Because they've all been good at some point in this season.
Gosh, I see a New England... committee next year there. Speaking of Danny Woodhead and Rex Burkhead, apparently you got to get Rex Burkhead in your league if you can. He's available in Yahoo leagues here. He's owned in 50%, and he is, and James White is now becoming a thing of the past if you had him because Rex Burkhead is back. Danny Woodhead, I think, is taking the touches away from
Javarius Allen.
Yeah. Buck Allen, is that who his nickname is? Because that's killing me in one of my leagues because I can't play Javoris anymore.
Well, here's the thing, though, on Rex Burkhead. Give it about two more weeks and it'll be rotated around back to Mike Gillespie to be the Patriots running backs doing everything because they just rotate.
Well, it's an injury thing here. And if Rex Burkhead is healthy, he and Deion Lewis are the two big guys. Deion's going to get a lot of the touches, but I think Rex will get a lot of the passes and touches as well. Yeah. By the way, Darren McFadden retired.
Yeah, I saw that.
So Rod Smith, running back for Dallas. Let me ask you, Tampa Bay, Peyton Barber's on this list.
That's the name I have for you. This is a guy who the Bucs have been very high on for a while, but he just, you know, he's been behind Doug Martin, Quiz Rogers. Doug Martin's got a concussion. And I think at this point, Tampa Bay is going to start finding out what they have with some of these young players. Look for Peyton Barber, who's actually probably run harder than any other running back on the Tampa roster, to get a really good look over these last few games of the regular season.
Okay. Before I give you my surprise pick here, who else do you see on your list as some waiver pickups? Josh McCown?
No, I'm actually looking at Martavius Bryant. Juju Smith-Schuster is still banged up, and yeah. Bryant is playing to be on another team next year. So he's got something to play for. He caught four passes for 40 yards and a touchdown against the Packers, and I think he's playing. He's going to play because he wants out of Pittsburgh, and I think he's playing for a contract. So this is a guy who's motivated. Ben does like him for the deep ball, so he might be worth a look at.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I'm kind of curious to see where he's going to end up next year. Yeah. Who else you got?
I'm saying, you know, if you want to stick with Tampa Bay for running back situations, if Doug Martin's out, maybe Jacquizz Rodgers as well.
Okay. All right. I got a little sleeper pick here, although he didn't practice, so I'm kind of curious about his health, but I did pick him up. Tight end Ricky Seals-Jones, the Cardinals.
Oh, yeah, he's been playing pretty well for Arizona.
Yeah, Arians is impressed with him here, and it says that Seals-Jones caught 4 of 6 targets for 72 yards and a touchdown in Sunday's 27-24 win over the Jaguars. Excuse me. Once a 5-star college recruit, Seals-Jones burst onto the scene the previous week with a 31-21 loss to the Texans with 3 catches for 54 yards and 2 touchdowns on 5 targets. That's pretty impressive for a 2-week stint there.
Yeah, if you just can trust in Blaine Gabbert as his quarterback.
Well, it seems that right now they have a rapport. I think they trust each other. And, you know, if you're Blaine Gabbert, you look at this kid and what he's doing, you're going to go to him again. So that's why I think he's a sneaky pick. Yep. You know, if you have a wide receiver tight end slot or tight end slot and you're hurt and you need someone, I think he's worth a pickup. I picked him up in one of my leagues because I needed the help.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, Kevin, that's about what we can do for mediocre fantasy advice. People,
I think that was all completely mediocre. I think we hit our quota.
Oh, and then some. People are getting ready for the playoffs. You maybe got a couple weeks left. Maybe you're in one of those leagues. If you pay to get in, making the playoffs at least gets you your initial investment back, or if you're just playing for pride to make the playoffs.
I got a question for you.
Yes.
You know that when fantasy football over the last 15, 20 years, usually the playoffs start at like week 14 and maybe end in 15. In 16 and 17, there was no games. Now, recently, over the last 5 to 6 years, I can't remember when it was, the NFL decided to change up the schedules to where division games started happening on week 16 and 17 because a lot of these division leaders stopped playing their starters when they were going up against non-divisional teams. And these games were not fun to watch. But they started, if you look at all of the games now, weeks 16 and 17 are divisional games, especially that week 17. And I've always been a fan of, if I'm going to run a fantasy football league, I love playing through the whole season. I love the fact that the playoffs will be in like 16 and 17, the actual real season, because I think that if you're a fantasy owner, you need to be able to compensate for that. And you need to figure out what else to start if you think your starters aren't going to start. What's your take on that?
I'm really against the league going into week 17 because there's just too many teams that have clinched their playoff position, are resting guys. And I think it takes away a little bit of the competition from the fantasy league. I think
even with the NFL scheduling divisional thing, because it seems like there's been a lot of week 17 games that have mattered.
Yes and no, but I'm still not seeing enough things where even still a lot of teams know where they're going to be and such, and that they don't play them. I think week 16 is a fair ending to a fantasy season. If you want to go into week 17, I'm not going to yell and scream about it, but to me, I'm a big believer week 16 should be the last week of your season. I think there's week 17 because you have just too many players who are going to be checked out because they're not making the playoffs. And they're not going to they right. start playing what they say, playing for themselves. And they're not going to go out there and give you a good effort. Or you got those teams where maybe you have a good player, but they're on a bad team and they're just going to tank it because they're trying to get a better draft pick.
Yeah, okay. Good points. All good points. I was just curious where you thought. I personally, for me, if there's a chance to extend the season in your fantasy league one more, I like to do it. And depending on your playoff structure, too, I like to try to, you know, get in, you know, a nice good amount of playoff run if possible, you know.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. But, you know, Kevin, it's again about that time. I'm looking up at the final few seconds on the play clock. Do you have a play for us that can get us in the end zone this week? Because we haven't been scoring for anything lately.
Yeah, if you don't mind, instead of throwing me the football in the end zone, can you just throw me Crabtree's chain? I'll be happy with
that. Yeah, that should at least count for a two-point conversion this week. And with that, I think we've run out of time. There's no plays left in the playbook. And we really, you know, Aqib Talib is standing over in the corner. We're trying to get out of here before he makes it over our way. So I'm calling an audible, and this will be the play that gets us finally into the end zone.